Tonight, in the book of Acts, chapter number 24, we'll be reading and three or four verses here and noticing some things. Acts chapter 24, and there's a couple of men that are mentioned here in Acts chapter 24 and chapter number 26 that have a sad commentary about their life. Over in chapter 26 of Acts, you'll find that there was a man by the name of Agrippa, and Paul had witnessed to him and spoken to him about Christ. And King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost is not enough. And we have a song in our songbook that has that phrase in it, almost persuaded and almost is not enough. And King Agrippa had heard the message from Paul, and he was, I believe, convicted of his standing with God, and he was almost persuaded, just up to the point of becoming and being converted in his life, but yet he rejected the Lord. And that's a sad thing to leave in the scripture. The last thing you hear about that individual is that he's rejecting the Lord, and he's almost, and I believe he had probably good intentions of doing something maybe different, but we hear nothing about his conversion later. But tonight we read in chapter 24 of another man. His name is Felix. And in verse number 24 of Acts chapter 24, the Bible reads, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And he answered, 'Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent him the oftener and communed with him. And after 2 years, Portius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." I think tonight we could probably use these two men to paint a very sad picture of the life of an individual that has the opportunity but yet rejects the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, now he's coming down to the final times of his life. He has lived his life. He has fulfilled much of the things that the Lord had given him to do, and he was still going to have to stand and was going to have to face the charges that were against him. But Paul was converted back in the book of Acts chapter number 9, and we find that when Paul is talked about in Acts 9:15, the Lord says, "For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Right here on in that one little phrase, that one little verse, God lays out the life of the Apostle Paul. He's going to be a preacher. He's going to be one that will bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a chosen vessel. And by the way, all of us tonight are chosen of the Lord. We are recipients of His grace by His choice and His conversion. And Paul was a chosen vessel not only for salvation, but he was a chosen vessel to do certain things in his life. And he is chosen to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And of course, we know that he did that because the Bible, we understand, we know him as the apostle to the Gentiles. He also preached when he first, right after he got saved, and he's baptized in verse number 18, verse number 20 of Acts chapter 9, says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." So immediately Paul began to preach to the Jews, his own people. In the book of Romans, Paul makes some statements. He said, that he would give his own life for his countrymen, for the Jew, if they would come to know the Lord. He was had a great burden for the Jews. And then it tells us here that he would bear the name of the Lord to kings. And so tonight in chapter 24 and chapter 26 and these verses that we read at different times, Paul literally is standing before kings, and he is standing before those that are have authority over him to loose him. He's standing before those that had the authority to set him free or to continue his jail time. And so we find in our verse tonight a very strange statement. He says, when I have a convenient season, when it is convenient for me, I'll hear you again on this matter. And so I want us to think tonight just a little bit upon this thing or this subject of a convenient season. It's never convenient because it's something that has to be brought to us. This convenient season that Felix is talking about is to hear once again the word of the Lord. The Bible tells us that he heard the word of God and he trembled at the very presence of the Lord. The scripture tells us he heard those things and he understood those things. And the Bible says in verse number 25 that Felix trembled, and then he said, go thy way. What is he trembling about? Because he in himself reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and of judgment to come. He's literally reasoning out in his mind and in his life of those things that are of eternal good and eternal blessing. He reasoned concerning the things of the Lord, of righteousness, of temperance, and that of control. He reasoned of judgment that is to come. And, of course, we know the Scripture tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that he's going to stand before the Lord. He's going to stand the judgment. Every person in this building, we're going to stand and we're going to be judged. Every person that is living tonight, these 7 billion people that are living upon the face of planet Earth, they're going to stand before God and they're going to be judged of the Lord. It's appointed a man once to die, and after that is the judgment. There are many instances in the New Testament where people came very close to becoming a Christian, but yet they fell short of the grace of God. I think of that rich young ruler there in Matthew chapter 19. We had a message on him just a few weeks ago, and he came and he was sorrowful because he had great possessions, and his possessions kept him away from the good things of the Lord. He came to that place. He came asking and requesting of the Lord what he might do to inherit eternal life. And so he was considering eternal things, but yet when the Lord told him and all the process that God gave him, that the Lord gave him there, he went away sorrowful because he had so many things, and the Lord wanted to be willing to give it all up for him. Not necessarily that he would have to, but be willing to do that. And he went away sorrowful because he had many, many great possessions. Then in Mark chapter number 12 and verse 34, there's a scribe, and says, when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You're very close. Here the Lord tells this scribe, this writer of the scripture. We have printing presses, we have printed page, we have computer, we have programs that have the Bible, but they had the scribes and they would copy the word of God. They had it before them continually every day. That was their position. That was their job. And the Lord told this scribe, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst any question. And so we find he was very close, but yet it's not close enough. I mentioned King Agrippa a while ago, almost persuaded. And here tonight, Felix, as he trembled under the, I believe, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Paul was giving to him the message, and Paul was talking about righteousness, and so he was reasoning about that thing of righteousness, and Felix certainly was not a righteous person. He was a very wicked man in the Roman government, and so he was hearing the message that Paul preached, And he considered that. He reasoned with that, with himself. He reasoned about having that temperance or that control that the Lord can give us. And he reasoned about the judgment that was to come. And as he thought on those things, the Bible says he trembled. It's been a long time, but I have seen people tremble under the convicting power of the God of heaven. Sometimes the conviction becomes so great and so strong that people literally tremble before the presence of the Lord. But you know, the most important thing you and I can ever do is to make sure and to know that we have come to the Lord to be saved. That we are not just almost persuaded, but that we be fully persuaded. That's what Paul told Agrippa when Agrippa told him that. Paul said, I would to God that you not, that not only thou, but also all that hear this day were both almost and altogether. And Paul says, such as I am, except these bonds. Paul said, I wish you, Agrippa, and I wish all those that are hearing the message, I wish you would not just be almost, but be completely, totally under the understanding of salvation and be persuaded. And he said, I wish you was just like me. And he's talking about being a Christian, talking about being a believer in the Lord. He said, but not the bonds that I have. He said, I wouldn't want you to have the prison chains. I wouldn't want you to be in bondage. I would not want you to be in jail. But he said, I would love for you to be free in the Lord and have the blessing of God. And so salvation is far greater. That rich man, that rich young ruler, he found out one day that that salvation was far greater than the riches that he had. He found out that he gave up the greatest thing for that which was not worth anything when it come to the price of his soul and when death came to him. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world? That's a big statement. What is it a profit? How does it profit an individual if he gains everything the world has to offer? And there are some people that have that. We hear about people that have no financial problems at all. They can do what they want to do. They can spend $1 million and never worry about it. It's just like you and I spending $10. And what does it profit them if they have all of that, but when it comes down to the end of life, they lose their own soul? I've told the story. I used to work for an individual, very, very nice man, very easy to work with. And he was a very wealthy man, but he had no reason about him concerning the things of the Lord until he got sick. Until he had the announcement made to him that you're going to die. He continued on with his work, continued on, and he talked to me one time. He said, I would give every dime I have to have one more day of life. Just one more day. You know, when it comes down to the end of life, things are not too important. Money doesn't go very far when we come to that point in our life. Salvation is greater than all the whole world. Salvation is greater than the most popular person in the world. King Agrippa and Felix, they were pretty popular with their government officials, and they had achieved where they wanted to be, and now they were confronted with the gospel. And what were they going to do with it? How were they going to handle that? How were they going to take care of what was there for them? And they both turned their back upon the greatest gift that would ever be given to them, and that's the salvation of their soul. Salvation is greater than the popularity of athletes and the popularity of movie stars and the popularity of politicians. Salvation is much greater than all those things. Salvation is greater than even a body that's healthy. Salvation is far greater than that. Now, all of us want to be healthy. All of us want to be able to do the things we desire to do, but sometimes that leaves us. But even if we can do everything the world would put before us and we die without God, what does it profit a man if he does that? And so here we find these two men were willing to die without Christ, and they missed everything. And we're dealing primarily tonight with Felix. There are several misconceptions about salvation. If you don't believe me, you just start talking to somebody, how do you think you go to heaven? How is your thinking? What really takes an individual and will make him fit for heaven? You'd be surprised at the different answers that you get right here in the middle of what's called the Bible Belt. Every answer, every thought that you can imagine is there. And every false thought is there. And so there are several misconceptions concerning salvation. There are some people that think you can get saved just any way you want to. We dealt a little bit with that this morning. But there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to labor that as we did this morning, through repentance and faith in the Son of God. But there are many people that say, well, I'll get saved the way I want to. There are some people that would fall into the category is that I'll get saved when I want to. Well, that doesn't work either, because salvation only comes to an individual when the Holy Spirit deals with their heart. And if God doesn't deal with their heart, they're not going to even desire salvation. And so the misconceptions are there. We have no guarantee that God will ever convict another time. Felix trembled here, but I don't know if he ever trembled again. Agrippa was almost persuaded, but I don't know if he was ever almost persuaded again. The Scripture does not reveal that. And so we find that we can come to a point, and then God no longer deals with us. And so we really don't get saved any way we want to, and we don't get saved any time we want to. And certainly, sometimes people say, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got enough. I'm young. I've got plenty of time. Well, I've gone behind the caskets of young folks. I've gone behind the caskets of young adults and middle age. We don't have plenty of time. Now, every one of us in here tonight, we are planning for plenty of time. We plan for certain things that are going to happen in the future. We make plans for that. And so we're dealing with time in the future. And so we come to the point when it comes to the things of salvation, the devil will feed us the line that we have all the time we need. You can do it later. You don't have to do it right now. It'll be okay to do it later. You can be almost persuaded now, but just wait till next week or next month, maybe next year. When you get all these things done, you get everything worked out in your life the way you want it worked out, then you can come to the Lord and then you can get saved. It doesn't work that way. We maybe don't have plenty of time. There are many people that have plans for tomorrow, and their plans will not come about because they are no longer here. I'm praying that we do not get word tonight of somebody that we know, but there are people tonight that this will be their last night, and they have plans for tomorrow. They have plans for next week. They have plans for Thanksgiving. We have plans for Thanksgiving. It's 3 or 4 weeks off. We have plans that we're going to go up and spend time with our daughter. And we have that plan. We have plans for Christmas. We have plans for the future. But we don't have any guarantee that we'll ever get to that point. And it's a very important thing. It's a very serious thing that we realize that we may not have as much time as we think we do when people are lost. They need to have the understanding. They need to have the urgency of knowing that this could be the last day of their life. And Felix said here, go thy way. I don't know the attitude of his words. Sometimes we read words and we have no expression here. But I don't know if Felix was upset. I don't know if he was kind to Paul. I don't know if he was ill with Paul. He could have said, go thy way, I'll talk to you later. Or he could have said, Paul, I'll talk to you at a later day when it's more convenient. You see, attitude. Voice makes a difference. Words are there. So we don't know how he accepted or how he dealt with Paul, but one thing for sure, he said, I'll do it at a convenient time. I'll do it at a more convenient time. But salvation really is never convenient because it always has to be right now. Convenience means I'll work everything out and I'll get it ready and I'll sit down and we'll make plans and I'll trust the Lord. I've had it all worked out. But salvation, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week, next month. Today is the day. So this is the day. And so we find that when when Felix made that statement, a more convenient time, he maybe didn't realize that there would never be another time for him to be impressed of the Lord to consider righteousness and temperance and judgment. He maybe never heard another message. He maybe never heard another sermon from Paul. He maybe never did have that opportunity. But the devil gave him that desire and gave him that line that you can do it later. He gave him that thought in his heart, when it's convenient for me, when all my work is done and I don't have all these governmental duties to take care of, Paul, I'll sit down with you again. And at a more convenient time, I'll hear you. And what he says, I will call for thee. I'll hear you again. I'll call for you, Paul. I'll call and tell you when everything's just right. I'll call for you and you can tell me again and I'll consider it. But then Scripture never tells us that he had a convenient season. It wasn't convenient when you got saved. It wasn't really convenient when any of us got saved because it had to be right now. We couldn't work it out. We couldn't take care of it. We couldn't get everything in the right order. We just had to say yes or no unto the Lord. And so this is what Felix was having to express here when he trembled. And he looked and he understood, and I believe he, as the Bible says, he reasoned, he considered the message that Paul had given him. How many times I've seen people really consider the message that they've heard. I've seen people, and I know some of you have, they hold on to the pew really tight when they're standing. They want to make a move, but they can't make a move. They want to make that step, but they don't make that step. And the conviction of the Spirit of God is there and very prevalent. And the battle goes on in their heart. And the struggle goes on. Who's gonna overcome? Sometimes they give in and come to the Lord. Sometimes they do not. And sometimes they never have that feeling again. They never have that expression from the Lord again. But this man Felix, for a few minutes, I want us to look at him and see some things about his life and how sad it is that he would not come unto the Lord. Notice verse number 24. I believe we find here that Felix had an interest in righteousness. He had an interest in salvation. And it says he sent for Paul. Now Felix knew who Paul was. And so he heard him, the Bible says, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. It is Felix that instigates the meeting that Paul and he had. It is Felix that sends for Paul, and as they are together, he hears him concerning faith in Christ. Now, I believe probably that's the reason he called for Paul. Everybody knew who Paul was. Everybody knew what Paul's message was. Everybody knew where he stood and what he did. And everywhere he was, he preached the gospel. Even the household of Caesar came to a knowledge, many of them to a knowledge of the Lord. Those men that were with him to guard him when he was in Rome, he would preach and teach them and show them the righteousness of the Lord. And many of them became believers. And Paul mentions them in one of his writings. He sends greetings from the household of Caesar. And so we find that Felix knew who Paul was, knew what his message was, and so he calls him and he asks him to come, and he hears him concerning faith in Christ. Those words there reveal to me that he had a curious heart about spiritual things. He was curious about this message that Paul was preaching. He was curious about how that these things had so troubled the Jerusalem and had troubled many of the Jewish people. And so he was curious about spiritual things. I've seen people that was just antagonistic. They don't want to hear. They're not going to hear. They'll shut the door. They'll shut their ears. They won't have any idea, and they don't want to have anything to do with the gospel or anything about religion, and they just shut you out. But Felix wasn't that way. He said, "You bring Paul. I want to hear him concerning faith in Christ." He had an interest in salvation. Had an interest in hearing truth. That's more than I can say about a lot of people today. A lot of folks don't want to hear truth. A lot of folks want to hear what they think. They won't hear somebody that'll tell them that everything's okay, what they're doing and how they live. But Felix had an interest, he had a desire that he'd hear faith in Christ. He was going down the right path. I believe he's already under conviction. I believe some things had come in his life. He was under that conviction of the Lord to try to get a better understanding of what it's all about. And so he calls for the number one preacher of their day, and that's the Apostle Paul. And he knew, and he had had some conversations with, and he said, "You bring Paul. I want to hear him concerning faith in Christ." Now that was unheard of for a Roman official to have that attitude. They hated the things of the Jews. They hated the things of what we would call the salvation of the Lord. But here's this man, Felix, and he's married to a Jewish lady. And so he had heard enough. He had seen enough. He had had conversations. He had seen some things about the Jews' religion, and his curiosity is up. And he says, "I want Paul to come and talk to me concerning the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ." So first thing about Felix is that he had an interest in salvation. Number two, and we've already dealt with that a little bit. Number two, Felix had a conviction about salvation. As I said a moment ago, I think he was convicted in his heart by the Holy Spirit when he asked for Paul. But when he hears the message that Paul gives to him, the Bible says he trembles. He is shaking. He is trembling. And he's concerned. The Holy Ghost had dealt with his heart. And salvation is offered to him. And conviction is there in his heart. And he trembles before the Lord. And he has God knocking on his heart's door. I can identify with that. You can identify with that, because there was a time you were interested in salvation. Your curiosity, you wanted to know more about the Lord. You heard the message. As you hear the message, you have the conviction of the Spirit of God. And we come under conviction. Don't hear much about that today in our day and age. You just decide to be a Christian or whatever you want to do, but very little about being convicted of life and convicted of sins and turning from that. But that's still in the book. And so Felix, I believe, was convicted in his heart of some things about his unrighteousness. I think he was convicted in his heart about the uncontrollable, sometimes anger that he would have. He was convicted about the judgment that he would stand one day. And I believe Paul preached to him on those things very diligently. He comes to a mental understanding that I'm not right with God and I tremble. So Felix had an interest. Felix had a conviction, but that's not enough. It's not enough just to have an interest. It's not enough to just have a convicted heart. We must act on that. And the third thing about Felix's life, he had a procrastination. He put it off. He just said, "Not today." He tells Paul, he says, "Go thy way. Just go away for a time. Go thy way for this time." He says, "Paul, I'm finished. I've heard all I want to hear. I've considered all I'm going to consider. Paul, you just go away." And Paul had to go away because Paul was a prisoner under the authority of the Roman government and under the authority of Felix. And so here this man has had the opportunity. He has the interest. He has the conviction. But he puts it off. He says, "Go thy way for this time." He says, "I'll you just leave. I don't want you here. For whatever reason, Felix would not believe upon the Lord. For whatever reason, he would not accept Christ. He sent God's man away. He sent God's messenger away from his presence. I've had people say, I don't want to hear any more about this thing, this person called Jesus. I don't hear anything else about church. I don't hear anything else about religion. You know what to do? The same thing that Felix did. Go thy way. And when that barrier goes up, when that attitude comes up, you might as well go your way. Because they are fighting against the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they're not going to listen. They have their hearts set. And so he procrastinated. He said, just go your way for this time. He didn't tell him, go away, I'll never talk to you again. Felix didn't get angry. He trembled. Felix didn't get mad. He was trembling, not because of fear of Paul, but because of fear of what Paul had told him. He called him to reason about the faith in Christ, and Paul was faithful to preach the gospel to him. And now the Holy Spirit has done his work, and Felix trembles at that, and he said, just get away. I don't want to hear any more about it. You go away at this time. So he had an interest, he had conviction, but he had procrastination. He put it off. And I talked a while ago about, I told you a while ago, there's a lot of misconceptions about salvation. Felix falls into that category because he says, when I have a convenient season, I'll do it when I want to. I'll hear you again on this matter. And he knew what he was going to hear. He knew what that matter was. He said, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I'll call you when I get ready to talk to you. The barrier gets harder to break. The conviction is not as strong as it was because he is rejecting the presence of the Lord. He is rejecting the invitation to know faith in Christ. And so he is convicted, but he puts it off, and then he says, I'll call you at another time. I'll call you when it's convenient for me, Paul. Maybe his attitude changed right in the midst of things. He called wanting to know. Now he's calling and telling Paul, I don't want to know anymore. I've heard enough. That's how the devil works in the lives of some people. They say they've heard enough, and I'll have a better time when it's more convenient. I've had people say, come back at another day when I'm not so busy. Come back another time when there's not so much going on. They're saying the same thing Felix does here, a more convenient season. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix instituted the call to begin with, and he says, I'll do it again when I'm ready. See the attitude change? See the heart change? Heart becomes hardened and cold and indifferent. Now Felix had a twisted thought about salvation too. His motive for salvation certainly was wrong. We find it here in verse number 26. He says, I will call for thee, for he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. He's sort of like other people we know that just want the bribe to better their pocket. And that's what he's interested in now. He's come to the point, Paul, you go your way. And he's thinking in his heart, if Paul would pay me something, I would listen to him some more. If Paul would give me some money, I'll do some. So he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Paul, you give me money, I'll set you free. Paul wasn't interested right at this moment of him being free. He's interested in Felix being freed. He's not interested in losing his bonds. He's not interested in having freedom. He's interested in this man that's called for him, and he's reasoned with him about these three subjects, at least that are mentioned here. He preaches unto him Christ, and here Felix is. He said, well, if he'll pay me, I'll loose him. Paul's not interested in being loosed. Paul's wanting Felix to be loosed from his sins and the bondage and the burden that was upon him. So his motive was all wrong after he rejects. Verse number 26, in the latter part of it. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. He had other communication, had other times that he talked with Paul. He communed with him, and he heard more, I believe, I know from Paul, he heard more of what he had just heard. But in verse number 27, we find a sad point. For 2 years now, but after 2 years, Festus came to Felix, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Paul wouldn't pay him any money, and so for 2 years now, he has communed with the Apostle Paul. I really believe in my heart in that 2 year period of time, if Felix had ever come to the point of accepting Christ, I believe God would have given it to us. I believe we would have known that. I don't know that for sure, but the way the Lord leaves it here in the canon of the scripture, Felix rejected the Lord and left him bound 2 years because he was a politician. And he says here he left him bound, willing to show the Jews a pleasure. Willing to show the Jews a pleasure. Paul had been used of God for a number of years now. Paul had been a preacher of the gospel. He'd been an apostle. He had been one that the Lord had appointed. And as we read there in Acts chapter number 9, he is a chosen vessel. He's going to stand before Gentiles. He's going to stand before the nation of Israel. He's going to stand before kings. And Paul did all three of those things in his ministry. And here we find Felix, I believe his final rejection is that he, in order to have a good standing with the Jews, he left Paul bound. And Paul himself, even Caesar, even himself said, Paul, if he hadn't appealed, or if he hadn't appealed unto Caesar, he wouldn't have to. He would be set free. But Paul was a free man. He was a Jew, but he was a Roman citizen, and he had every right of all Roman citizens, and he could appeal to the highest court, and Paul did that. And these things that happened in between there, he has conversation, has messages and preaching and dealings with men that were very anti-Christ, but two of them that we know of here in these two chapters at least heard the gospel, and they were affected by it. It wasn't a complete effect to go to heaven, but they were affected. They were moved. One was trembled, and one almost persuaded. Oh, may God help us not to be almost, but as Paul said, altogether persuaded or convinced, Paul said, as I am. And Paul, from the moment he got saved on the road to Damascus, we read there in Acts chapter number 9, the first thing he did was he reasoned, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was his message from the time he started until he ends up there in the Roman prison and his head is severed from his body. Paul's message was Christ and him crucified. Paul's message was the blood of Christ. Paul's message was the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the message that Agrippa heard. I believe that's the message that Felix heard. I believe that's the message that the household of Caesar heard. I believe that's the message that the Romans heard. As we have that book of Romans given to us from Paul, and he writes concerning some of the great doctrines of the Word of God in that one book called Romans. Paul was a faithful preacher of the gospel, and it had an effect upon a lot of people. A good effect, churches were started everywhere. Paul instrumental, being used of the Lord, people getting saved, Lydia, the Philippian jailer, the different accounts given. Paul was very instrumental in that. And now he is a prisoner, and he's still doing the same thing. I don't know if I'd be doing that. I don't know how I would be affected if I was put in jail, put in prison for the cause of Christ. I don't know. I hope I know, but I don't know. But Paul had the same message inside as he did outside. And it brought about conviction of heart, conviction of soul. Let's stand tonight.